Welcome to the Low Energy Podcast.
Oh no.
I'm sick.
Was that just to prove, prove your point?
Yeah, I'm not doing great, so I'm going to try and cough away from the mic. How are you feeling?
I've been better.
Yeah?
I would say it's maybe not a strong week for us.
Did you hurt yourself today?
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I ran into stuff. I've been super uncoordinated the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, but I keep hitting the same spot on my left arm.
Yeah.
And it might be broken.
You banged it pretty good today.
I got it pretty good today.
Yeah.
And it's like shooting pain up my arm, even when I like move my fingers. So...
Okay.
But someone wanted to record a podcast, so here
so
we are.
So we're holding off on the hospital.
And bags of ice on my arm, so this is going to be fun.
We are doing well. This is the level of commitment we have for our listeners. Come hell or high water, you will have an episode.
Might not be great.
Nope. Be a lot of mumbling and sniffling.
We're going to get it done. We're going to get it done.
And we become off Southern prospectors.
To a good start.
Oh.
But this is the first episode since our live show.
Yes, it is. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I'm going to be honest. I didn't have a lot of confidence in doing a live show.
No,
in doing a live show, it just definitely seemed... like, it could be fun in theory, but also I just kept thinking, like, that just sounds like a lot of work in addition to all of the other things we already have going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But you were very sweet, and you pretty much did everything.
No, that's not true.
It is true, because I kind of also said, if I have to do anything, I'm not going.
But I think...
you put it all together, you set stuff up, you...
I think a big part of that is having the help from Bill, who owns Hyena Gallery.
Yeah.
Such a sport and such a helpful, you know, helpful person when it came to helping us promote and helping us set up. And yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
So...
we're very lucky, but it ended up being a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
We got like drinks after, and we got a beer. Let's not get crazy with it. We got a drink after.
That's where I got my cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to share my beer with strangers.
When we left, I told him, you were greeting people at the bar that we didn't even know. Good sir, can I interest you in a taste of my beverage? Anyone that even remotely walked by you, you're like, hey man, want to try my beer? I was like, what's happening? And then you're like, hey, do you want the rest of my beer? After 30 people have had their mouths on your glass?
29. No, let's not be dramatic.
And I tasted it, and I was like, this is pretty good. I'm going to come back. And then I saw it just being passed around a table.
It was a mistake. In hindsight, it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little excited.
Yeah,
that's how I make friends.
Now you're sick, and we still have
I feel
no friends.
Awful.
So.
What do you got for us tonight?
So... I'm really mixing it up, and I'm pretty proud of myself.
Okay, what do you have?
So tonight, I actually have a ghost story.
Dang.
I know.
Okay.
And next week, I'm going to do an urban legend.
Whoa.
And then I'm right back on that murder train.
A murder train? That sounds like an awful train to take.
Nah.
Why would anybody take that train?
If you were at the train station and there's like, here's train 17 and here's murder train, you're going to tell me you would not get on murder train?
Yeah.
No, 100% you'd get on murder train. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about I'm not sure if I'm saying this right.
We never are.
No.
Oh, did you see that someone in Twitter corrected my, which is fine. I'm glad you did. Please keep that stuff coming. But I feel so stupid afterward.
No, I mean.
We don't know though, you know.
We're not
the enunciation police.
Come on, people. The enunciation
police. I applied. I didn't get in. It was a tough academy.
Jokes
that
like
joke
that,
too far?
Jokes like
that too.
All night.
Far.
Okay, so my story is on the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. And I call it that because that's what it was called. So before people get all upset. It was the Lunatic Asylum when it was...
That's what they used to be called.
That's what it was called. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
But I'm not... Trans-Allegheny? Let's go with that. So I got most of my information from, you know, an interesting site. all at isinteresting.com.
It'd be funny if it was just like a picture of a dude like, hey, not interesting at all.
No, let's start that one.
Let's start that one? Yeah. Oh, let's start that one. Yeah.
Let's start that one. Oh, let's start that one. We're just going to keep going.
I'm on a lot of medicine.
Also, the thought catalog. Here we go. Are you ready? Sniffles out. Into the microphone.
I need the people at home to know what I'm going okay. through.
Guys, he's really fine. He's just a man who is sick. So here we go. Construction on the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum began in 1858 in West Virginia.
I'm in.
How much are you loving
I
the
am
story already?
In.
I knew you would. With most of the work performed by prison laborers. Sorry, I'm laying on your computer thing.
It's okay. It's a tablet, but that's cool.
Tablet. Work came to a screeching halt when the Civil War broke out in 1861. Soldiers used the partially completed building as a union post, which they named Camp Tyler. They slept in the completed south wing of the hospital and kept their horses in the main foundation as a makeshift stable. Soldiers stripped the hospital of all its food and clothing, which had been intended for the first batch of patients. But still, in 1863, the hospital was technically completed, and it opened its doors to its first patients in 1864. Construction would continue on the building until 1881.
They didn't restock that food or anything?
Nah.
It's like, this is the food. If it's not
no,
here when we get
as
back,
in, like,
then
it delayed them opening.
Right, okay.
It had been designed in accordance with the Kirkbride plan, which sought to create a structure that had a curative effect on patients. So things like long wings and lots of access to light and fresh air were all emphasized.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, totally.
Can I just say that all I won't keep interrupting, I swear, but all I'm picturing is the asylum in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I mean, a lot
which
of
we recently
we
just
did.
Rewatched, and we hadn't seen it in a while, and so we both thought they skipped that part, and
yeah,
we were instantly mad. Like, why are we even watching this if we can't
yeah,
see
it? It just came 5 minutes later.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, that's our bad. No, probably, yeah, like that.
Yeah,
sure. Architect Richard Snowden Andrews had created a gorgeous structure with help from stonemasons that had been brought in from Ireland and Germany. The hospital is the second largest building constructed of handcrafted stonemasonry in the entire world, with walls that are 2.5 feet thick. They really didn't want anyone getting out.
Damn.
Yeah.
So here's intense. Access to a lot of light, long hallways.
Keep them in there.
2.5 feet thick.
Yeah.
What I wouldn't give for that in my apartment. Just, I just want.
That's how much we like people. Yeah,
sacrifice floor space.
When completed, the hospital, which soon became known as the West Virginia Hospital for the Insane, so much better,
mm-hmm.
Was a breathtaking, sustainable masterpiece. It was built to state-of-the-art specifications, boasted a working farm, waterworks, a gas well, and even a cemetery. It featured wide open windows to let in as much light as possible, covered 242,000 square feet, was 4 floors. It's 1,296 feet long, featured 921 windows and 906 doors, as well as a 200-foot tall clock tower that stretches up from the center of the building. Creators of the asylum went in with the best intentions. Their goal was to make patients feel well cared for and relaxed.
Sounds wonderful.
Great start, right?
Yeah.
Good intentions, how most things start. It operated as intended for nearly 20 years. To keep up with the growing population, more buildings were constructed on the property, including a greenhouse so that patients could enjoy fresh produce, a large kitchen and cafeteria, a building for the court-ordered criminally insane, a state-of-the-art medical center with a morgue and autopsy room, and even a geriatric center for the elderly patients. A separate tuberculosis building was also constructed due to the contagious nature of the disease and remains relatively intact even to this day. Sounds nice, right?
Yep. Waiting for the turn.
Cut to 1881. Thanks to an increase in mental health diagnosis and the stigma that surrounded it, the facility soon became overrun. There were not enough staff workers to keep up with a growing number of patients, and rooms that had been intended to house one person were now holding five.
Oh, that's a jump.
Yeah.
Wait, five?
Five.
That seems ill-advised.
It is. It gets rough. Back in the 1800s, it was easy to have someone committed to a mental institution, and people did it freely. In many cases, you could receive money for bringing a patient in, a potential patient. People were committed for things like... My phone is blowing up. It's not gone off all day. And I was like, I'm not going to turn it on silent because literally no one has talked to me all day long. And now, like, it just went off seven times. It's probably my sister. I'm not even getting excited. So people could be committed for things like asthma, epilepsy, tuberculosis, rabies, indigestion.
I feel like I would be committed for so many things.
We'd be in there. Loss of an arm. Menstrual derangement. Going in for that one.
Hitting your elbow multiple times on different objects.
Childbirth. That'll get you in there.
Wait, childbirth?
Childbirth.
Can get you committed?
Having a child. Yep. Laziness. Desertion of husband. And here's a good one. Reading too much.
Oh, I get that. I get that.
So to cure these patients, doctors used ice water baths, bloodletting, insulin coma therapy, electroshock therapy, and confinement cages. The most popular, however, was the ice pick lobotomy, which was pioneered by Dr. Walter Freeman. The name pretty much describes the treatment. An ice pick would be shoved through a patient's eye socket and into their brain. In a handful of cases, it was believed to have calmed the patient down, but in most cases, it left the person permanently brain damaged.
And blind, I would assume.
Probably.
No?
I don't know how you wouldn't be blind from having an ice pick shoved through your eye.
Isn't there a movie where the killer is trying to lobotomize?
I'm sure there's so many.
Okay.
The hospital recorded 1 2-week period in which 228 ice pick lobotomies were performed.
In a week?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they were just like knocking them out left and right. The farm could not keep up with the growing demands of the asylum, and patients began to starve. By 1938, the asylum housed six times more patients than their max capacity. The orderlies could no longer control anyone, which left patients running the halls wild. During the 1950s, the asylum, now known as the Weston State Hospital, that was meant to be home for 250 patients, had 2,600.
Wow.
Insane. Overcrowding meant an overworked staff, and the first thing to go was sanitation. The windows were covered with a thick layer of grime, creating an eerie darkness throughout the place and chilling the already near freezing rooms. Patients slept on the floors, as there was not enough furniture for everyone. The wallpaper was decaying, and those who were deemed uncontrollable were simply locked in cages. The cemetery had to be expanded to keep up with the growing number of dying patients, and by the time the asylum was shut down, which wasn't until 1994.
Oh my gosh.
So literally a few years ago.
Yeah.
The graveyard was, get this, 666 acres.
Spooky, scary.
There were a number of suicides, rapes, and murders at the hospital, and many patients simply ran around naked.
I'm going to get that part.
I mean, the hospital finally closed due to an enormous amount of pressure that was put on them, which started in 1992. It sat abandoned for many years, with rooms still filled with medical supplies and equipment. Of course, everyone saw this as a money-making opportunity, and in 2007, the hospital was put up for auction. Contractor Joe Jordan won with a $1.5 million bid, and now this National Historic Landmark, which went back to its original Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum name, is open for tours.
Wait. Oh, okay, open for tours. I thought he made it a mental health institution and just kept the lunatic.
Yeah. He's like, let's do this one more time. Ever since the tours began, paranormal activity has been widely reported.
Ghost story?
Yeah.
Twist.
Well, it's not really. It's kind of almost over. With incidents including hearing squeaky wheels rolling down the hallway, balls of light moving rapidly through the rooms, a ghost named Ruth, who hated men while she was alive and who now throws things at male visitors.
Oh my gosh.
Doors closing by themselves, loud banging on the pipes, and this one to me would be the creepiest, hysterical laughter.
That's creepy.
That's so creepy to me. One of the hospital's doctors said a ghost followed her home and still haunts her. A secret recording device was put into Ward 2 of the second floor, where two patients had committed suicide and another had been stabbed to death. When listened back, someone can be heard whispering, "Get out."
Well, is this like on one of those Ghost Adventure shows?
They've done a few of the Ghost Adventure stuff there, but it's really supposed to be like one of the most haunted places in the U.S.
I'd like to go.
I've never heard of it. The third floor is said to be haunted by a man named Big Jim, as well as a nurse named Elizabeth. There are even reports of a phantom who is known as the Creeper, who can be seen crawling on the floor. That's so terrifying.
Nope.
It's so terrifying. The fourth floor is supposedly haunted by a soldier named Jacob, and the first floor is controlled by the ghost of Slewfoot, who had been stabbed to death in a bathroom. Of all these sightings and experiences, though, the most common paranormal activity has to do with a little girl named Lily. It is believed that Lily's mother gave birth to her while in the hospital, and Lily only lived to be 9 years old, which many people report to be her age when they see her. Olive said she wears a white dress and can be heard giggling. She rolls balls along the floor and plays a music box. Many people consider the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum to be the most haunted building in the world and has been featured on many paranormal shows.
How do we get there?
We're going tomorrow. Surprise!
Do you think, I mean, what happens if you just like hang out with the ghosts? I mean, it seems like a lot of these ghosts just want to like...
The girl, people are saying the girl isn't...
Threatening?
Yeah, she just wants to play.
I was going to say, roll her ball back.
Brought in children's toys, and a lot of now, what I'm reading is that they're saying like the tour operators are like very protective over Lily, and they don't want people like messing with her, and they don't want her to like, you know, have to feel like she has to come out or whatever. But they say they like left a room for her, they put a bunch of kids' toys in it, and that she just goes in there and will like move stuff. That's so terrifying to me.
But is it still terrifying if they're not aggressive, if they're not poltergeists? They're ghosts?
If you first see that, maybe once you get used to it, I guess it's not. But can you imagine seeing that? I don't care if you're good or bad or whatever, but if you're just moving shit along the floor and like she says, just like she turns on and off the lights and stuff, that shit ain't cool.
I mean, I would much rather like play ball with a kid then see a man crawl across the floor. Was Slewfoot his real name?
Of course not.
What does Slewfoot mean?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
God. You weren't there?
No.
Are you not
a ghost? From the asylum? Nope.
Yeah. I mean, this is in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're like, never
mind. I mean, I've never been to either Virginia, but
I've never heard of this place before. And there's so many stories of people saying that they had like an encounter with this little girl.
Listen, I'm not a big fan of the ghost adventure, ghost whatever shows, because I've heard...
But you love ghost stories.
And I love like ghost stories. But the thing is that I've heard those... I know, like Fox Mulder, I want to believe. But I've heard those people in interviews, I don't know if they knew they were being taped or not at this particular moment, but admit to setting things up, to making noises, to make the show better.
I don't believe the shows at all. 100% bullshit. That's the thing. Of course, they're trying to sell a show. But with so many people...
Sure, the place very well may be haunted.
Yeah.
My problem with those shows is that if you're going to go and do an investigative show, be real about what you find. If you don't find anything...
But no one wants to watch that stuff. Show.
I don't give a shit. But then, if anything really does happen, it makes it so much less exciting. You know, I'm off on a tangent.
You are getting heated about this.
I would love to have a sit down with that. I'm not going to call him out by name. You guys know who I'm talking about, and I don't like him very much. because to me it is about the truth. And if places like this do exist, then I want to know.
Well, babe.
And
go
I don't
here,
want these.
Go here.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry. I'm getting a little
worked
up.
You're getting worked up. You're sick. Remember?
I know. I know. It's kind of. It is that protective thing, though. It's. I think to me those shows are extremely disrespectful of going into these places.
Yeah.
And doing this kind of stuff. And to me, if there is that other side of it, that this other plane that exists.
We're just fucking with it.
Yeah. I feel the same way about aliens. Like, I'm so fearful that aliens will come down and our immediate reaction will be to go to war with them rather than to try and learn from them.
It's a realistic fear to have.
Thanks, babe. You're so supportive. That's what I love about you. I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent. How do you feel about it? Would you go to this place? Would you spend the night?
I would, because it comes down to all the things we talk about with our exorcism stories and all the ghost stories you've done. I don't not want to believe, you know what I mean? But I need to see it for myself. And I think the shows are 100% bullshit.
Right.
But then when you have those stories where it's like credible people, like, you know, Air Force pilots saying they see UFOs, or a doctor saying like a ghost followed her home, these people have everything to lose.
Absolutely.
So why do any of this? Why say that? Why make up a story like that if you don't 100% believe it? If you're not seeing something, why even chance?
Right.
Chance it. I just like I to agree. Stop talking and not finish my sentences.
Not finish
Someone else just fill that in with however you feel.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to cough and I'm just waiting. You know that feeling?
Yeah. Like,
hang on one second.
I get that with burps.
She's a lady.
I'm a lady.
So I got my information from Rebel Circus, Daily Mail, and Vice.
You did.
I do want to say I put a warning at the top of this one that this story contains tales of forced incest, including acts with children. I will tread lightly over them, but there,
I'm gonna leave, so just
there
let
is
me
yeah,
call me
there
back
is mention. If you're not prepared to hear such a story, please turn off the episode.
Is
now.
Anyone prepared to hear such a story?
I was very careful in my wording not to be like, if you don't want to hear this kind of story,
yeah.
But, you know, I think you can be prepared. Also, some of the numbers in this story were sketchy as far as who was whose father or uncle, or just because everyone was fucking everybody. Yeah. So, this is a story about incest, if you didn't catch that.
All right, deep breath, everyone. Yeah. Here we go.
Tim and June Colt were brother and sister. That's the end of the story.
Don't like
it's
where this is
headed. They moved to New Zealand from England as children and were always close growing up. Eventually, they fell in love and decided to get married. Yep. We're creepy right out of the gate. You okay?
Yeah, I'll save all of this for at the end, but I just... Yeah.
Yeah,
I
it only gets
my
worse.
Siblings so much, but it's.
But you don't want to marry them?
You know, I just don't understand where that crosses over.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get
Well, and it's not everything I read, because I did look a little bit into their history. It's not like their parents were incestuous or anything like that, you know?
Someone had to start this.
Right.
And where are you just.
Well, I'm wondering if there was. My theory on this, I'm going to say it now because I might forget it near the end, but I'm wondering if. You know, if maybe these kids were molested when they were very young and made to interact with each other, or made to interact
when
the other one was in the room. That's the only thing I can think of, because that is more of a...
Something has to trigger that, I feel like. It can't.
Okay, so Tim and June Colt were married. June had 7 kids with her brother.
Oh, my God.
Martha, Frank, Paula, Betty, Cherry, Rhonda, and Charlie. With such a big family, they decided to move. They ended up in Victoria, Australia. This was the 1970s.
Because New Zealand couldn't take 9 more people. They had to leave and find a new country.
So during this time, Jim and June were had instilled their ways and their reasons onto their children.
Oh, God.
In fact, the family rarely interacted with anyone outside of their kin. Sometimes the men would head into town and sell firewood or to complete odd jobs here and there. The women would even more rarely seen, and when they were noted as being rail thin and covered in filth. Of course, suspicion arose, and after the death of Tim and June, the Colt family began moving quite frequently to avoid detection for their acts. Now, in case you're wondering, with their folks dead, Did the kids stop the incest? No.
What? I don't think anyone thought they did.
Okay. That's the end of the story. In fact, it got worse as Betty Colt and Charlie Colt took up leadership of their clan and themselves had 12 children together.
Good Lord.
That's a lot, even if you're not incestuous.
That's too much. Yeah. We're going to say it. That's too many kids.
They soon settled in New South Wales, around 30 kilometers outside of a town called Barroa. Do you know these areas?
No.
Okay. You lived out there for a while.
It's very big.
Okay. It looks so small on the maps.
Everything is very spread out.
This was roughly 3.5 hours southwest of Sydney.
Oh, no. I was more north.
Okay. They resided in what was described as a tiny hamlet in a wooded area.
This sounds nice.
This was a part of New South Wales with a lot of farmland, grazing cattle, and a very rural landscape. So rural, in fact, why do I write rural? I hate saying that word. It's my least favorite word to say. they actually went unnoticed for quite some time. The only schooling the children would receive is when welfare officers would stop by. They would act like the kids were learning, but in truth, the kids had severe mental disabilities due to, shock, the inbreeding.
No.
Yeah. They could barely form a sentence.
Oh.
It's really, really sad. And that's not all. Most suffered from some form of a disability, whether they were deaf, blind, mentally challenged, or physically deformed. Of course, this wasn't helped by the fact that they were living without running water, a working sewage system, or electricity. They were in tents and shacks that were constantly caked in mud, excrement, and other rubbish. It was pretty rough.
Okay, fine. You're going to inbreed. You can't clean up? You can't take a bath? Go down to a river and dunk yourself? Well, I mean,
yeah.
What? They're just like,
I don't know.
Fuck it. We're all in.
Authorities learned about the Colt incest cult in 2010 after 7 risk of significant harm reports were filed. Of course, right away, nothing happened.
Of course not.
Not for 2 years.
Hey.
It was July 2012 when a child overheard another child.
Oh my God.
What?
Sorry, you said 2012?
Oh, yeah.
This is
it was 3 generations.
Recent?
3 generations, yeah.
Blech. Okay.
Were you in Australia in 2012?
Oh, my God, was I?
When were you there?
No.
Okay.
No, later.
Okay. It was 2012 when a child overheard another child talking about some dirty young
<It's>
girl.
<me. laughs> I'm Cherry or whatever.
who lived some dirty young girl who lived in the bush and was pregnant with her brother's child.
Ugh.
Over the next year, the atrocities of the cult would be revealed. There were 40 members. They had brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, fathers, daughters, all sexually intimate. At the point they were discovered, some 20 miles outside the nearest big town, they were on their 3rd generation and preparing for a 4th, pushing more incest on top of the incest on top of the incest.
How are these babies
they weren't
even being staying alive?
Yeah, well, we're going to get to that. So locals had no idea. They remarked that they thought they were just hillbillies passing through town from time to time on 4-wheelers. They said all of their clothing looked like hand-me-downs and even the children seemed to wear 60s attire. They would come in for food and then leave without saying a word. Of course, it wasn't all food that they wanted. Upon discovery of their camp, pornographic magazines were found strewn about, mixed in with children's toys.
Oh my God. That's so disturbing.
Yeah. And tools for mutilating the genitalia of animals they would find.
What?
Yep. I put, don't ask me why. I have no idea, and it wasn't in any of the reports that I read. Now, I'm not going to go into too many details. They're online if anyone really wants to read up on them. But I will say that the children were used for sex when their age was still in the single digits.
Oh, my God.
I will say that they were made to watch other members of their families have sex and to perform group sex acts with their uncles, brothers, aunts, and what have you.
What is wrong with people?
I think a lot with this family.
Fine. You're a grown person that wants to fuck your sister. That's super weird, but whatever.
Yeah.
But now you're...
I think, they're basically... they're brainwashing them. They're training them to live this lifestyle.
How can you? Okay, I have so many problems with this. Okay.
Yeah, we're almost done. We're almost done. Some of the mothers are now fighting for their children, claiming they were fathered by men outside of their family, but DNA tests are continually showing otherwise. It is tough, I should mention, to even know who in the family is the father of some of these pregnant children, whether a brother, father, or uncle. As far as I could tell, Colt was not their real last name, as authorities were trying to protect the kids, some of whom have been allowed to miscarry, and all of who are currently with fostered. Like, they would have induced miscarriages. So basically abortions.
Oh, it's an abortion. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, how do you allow someone to miscarry?
Yeah, I don't know if they were calling them that because the kids were so young or whatever. But yeah, they didn't want them to come out because they were worried that the fourth generation of incest would.
Yeah.
I mean, the families, or the family, I should say, is still communicating via Facebook.
Good old Facebook.
Yeah. I have a few facts that I'm not going to read all of them just because they get pretty graphic. But the kids didn't know how to use toilet paper. One of their parents has already tried to abduct their kid back from foster care. Excuse me. And Betty, who was one of the original daughters, was kicked out of Australia and sent back to New Zealand. Despite her attempts to stay close to her kids.
How is nobody in prison?
Well, you can't. Yeah, some of them did serve a little bit of jail time. I don't know if they're all out or not yet. But the trials, the trials were going on, I think, in 2016. I might be wrong on that date, so don't quote me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty rough. But, well, that's what the thing was, too, and I'm going to get in way over my head here because I don't remember a lot of the court stuff, but there was a lot of writings about even if this was consensual, it's still against the law. Do you know what I mean?
You can't have consensual sex.
No. The kids
child.
Was a different thing. Okay. That was all illegal. They're talking about, like, the older family members.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
That's kind of interesting. How do you feel about that, though? Because it kind of comes up. I mean, no, never mind. I instantly regret even starting the sentence because I feel like it's going to.
No. I think you raise a good point.
I was going to say it's about loving someone.
Right.
Right. And wanting to be with someone.
Right.
Just like all of the arguments we've had with like gay marriage and equality, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. I 100% support.
Right.
How is it? Do you think it's totally different ballpark? Or do you think those people can use something like, you know, marriage equality and things like that as like a basis for their argument of the law can't tell me who I can love mm-hmm. and who I can have sex with, even though we can, you know, you can't sleep with children, obviously, but.
Absolutely. They obviously took it way too far. Yeah. I mean,
we all know that's wrong. Let's take that off the table because it's really depressing too. So
it is absolutely.
What about just the adults?
So here's what I was thinking about that, because I did figure that we would have this conversation. To me, it absolutely should be illegal because you're forcing this upon the kids that you will bear from that relationship. Do you know what
so
I mean?
So you think it's more from a health standpoint?
In my opinion,
yeah.
If they weren't, I mean, if they weren't allowed to have children, which sounds so awful.
Yeah.
Then I really don't. I mean,
if they were sterilized,
who gives
care?
A shit? Yeah. If they both want to do it and it's consensual, then go off and fuck each other. But as soon as you run the risk of, and you know that, I mean, statistics have proven time and time again that the less educated population breeds at a greater frequency mm-hmm. than the higher education or educated and more financially stable population. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think that's fair that, but then for me, it also brings up a separate argument of forcing one more. It's like one more way to tell someone what they can do with their body. So obviously I don't support incest.
Just make that real clear.
And breeding, of course, but then it also brings up another argument, but then, okay, so you're going to force someone, like sterilize someone, you know what I mean? That's, you can't do that either. Then that brings up like the abortion stuff and like we can't tell people what to do with their bodies. So
well, I think that's why it's illegal just to have relations with your family. because that's the easier fix than trying to sterilize everybody. But if they were willing to get sterilized, I hate using the word sterilized, but to make so they couldn't reproduce, would you be okay with people fucking their siblings?
Kind of like how you said, if that's what they want to do, whatever, man.
But I would still wonder
what hang out with them. I'm not
what
going
the trigger
to
is
them.
That made them.
But I also wonder, is that really consensual? Do you know what I mean? It just seems, what are the odds that both people, there hasn't been any outside, you know, or like you said, other like molestation or something else within their history that the other person is not preying upon.
Has to be.
But, right? So then it can't really be consensual.
Right. Because I don't think it's a genetic thing to be attracted to somebody
in
your family. And you're constantly being bombarded with media that's telling you that this is wrong, that this isn't how you should live. So unless it's something that was put into your brain at a young age or from some kind of damage, I hate using the word damage, from some kind of turmoil from your childhood. Yeah. I don't know. It's a short story, and there's nobody dies, nothing like that, but it's still like
horrifying,
really sad and super,
recent, which I think is one of the more disturbing things about it, is that there's still people out there who don't fucking get it.
Absolutely. And nobody broke away from this cult either.
How can you, though? Can you imagine how that's all you know? They obviously don't have jobs or money. Leaving wouldn't be an option.
I guess, that's true.
And then can you imagine if you left? Like, I had to fuck my dad and my brother and my uncle, so you would probably be shunned too. Like,
I mean, these kids are going to grow up with that, though. The ones who are in foster care right now.
How do you come back from that?
A lot of therapy.
How do you
foster
a child who's been... No one
I mean, these
equipped.
Kids are all going to have PTSD. Absolutely. It really... I mean, that's the thing that I don't think the adults think about, is what you're doing to these kids.
I think they just don't give a shit.
I think it's
what you know and what you grew up with, and it's like normal to you. So you don't think you're doing any harm, which is terrifying.
You have to see that these kids couldn't speak. They had physical.
Oh, I'm sure they did after almost four generations. I'm surprised though that, like I said, so many of them actually survived and made it into adulthood.
We don't need to get into it, but sad story.
We're just going.
Sad story. Anyway, thanks for listening.
What a downer,
if you
this
made it,
episode. Oh my God.
I know. SHWpodcast.com.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Yeah, we're sorry.
That was a rough one, but that's a very interesting story, and I'm really surprised I actually have not heard a single, well, maybe because it's over...
It's over in Australia. Yeah, I'm sure they're not shouting it from the rooftops.
Nah, dang.
But and they're also
one person. Just you. Just you need to leave.
But also, I mean, just another reason why we probably haven't heard a lot about this is the authorities over there are being extremely protective of the kids.
Yeah.
Well, which is good, as they should. Yeah.
But, shit.
All right.
Well, guys, that was fun. Thanks. Let's do this again next week. And,
make sure to like, subscribe, and review.
Please do.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Sweet dreams.